This morning we're going to the book of Titus. I like Titus. Somebody has a grandchild named Titus. Like that one too. We're in Titus chapter 1. And while you're turning there, hopefully you can find it. It's not too difficult. It's on page 424. If you have my Bible. I remember way back, it's been a while, seminary. I joined the Sunday school program at First Baptist Jackson, Mississippi. You say, well, why would you do that? I'm in a Methodist seminary, and I joined the Baptist Sunday school. Have you seen how many cute girls are in that group? Emmett, you gotta go for these things when you get a chance, buddy. That's all I can tell you. But I sang in the choir, and it was great. First Baptist had an incredible pastor, Frank Pollard, Dr. Frank Pollard, incredible preacher. Still is. He's retired now, but incredible preacher. But I enjoyed the choir, and I'd sing in the choir. But we sang this song that was really a toe-tapper, you know, more country, like we just sang today. And you get down to the end of it, instead of saying amen, it was amen. I knew it was in first church. Amen. I said amen, and they all looked at me. But I'd been used to encouraging the pastor with an amen. I don't think that had been said in that church in a long time. And he had a lot of things that you could amen. Because, like I said, he really, really was a quality preacher. And laid the word out. Boom, straight. That man could preach for, was it 19 minutes? He would preach exactly the same time frame every Sunday, no notes. That's not me. And if I had to pick a time frame, I'll say an hour. How about that? I know you're praying that it's shorter than that. It will be. Okay. Well, maybe not today. I don't know about today. It's got there. Okay, John, all right, I'll cut it off. Here we go. Titus chapter 1, the letter that the Apostle Paul has written to his son Titus, the son in the faith, like Timothy. But he writes one to Titus here as an encouragement. And that's really what this message is about. Do you consider your life to be in a mess? Or some aspect of your life, maybe it's in a mess right now. Well, I want to talk about a glorious mess. That's what we're going to talk about this morning, a glorious mess. So if you found Titus, if you haven't, just look up intelligently anyway. You guys are going to have to lighten up today. That's all I can tell you. The text and the subject, it comes exactly from what Paul is writing to Titus about. He's been left on the island of Crete, and that's in the eastern Mediterranean, but he's in a place that nobody would want to go. In verse number 12, this is the description. Paul is saying this about one of their poets or one of their writers. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. That's not the text. I just thought I'd read that because it's highlighted in my Bible. I got a new Bible, and I didn't like the cover. That's another sidelight for you I'll tell you about later. But verse number 5, that's where I want to go. Verse number 5, Paul says to Titus, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. I left you in Crete in a mess. I left you in a place that was nobody else wanted to go to. I put you there because this is what the Spirit was saying to me. I left you in a place that was so difficult that you needed to be there because they needed your help. Now, How did he describe them? Evil beast, liars, slow bellies. In other words, they were just idle gluttons. Pretty much worthless, and we've got quite a few of those in our world today. I mean, that to me sounds like a good reason not to go there. And if anything, get out of there as quickly as I can. You know, I'm glad God didn't call me to that place. I was thinking about my buddy Marshall in Alaska, and I was sitting there praising God every day that he did not call me to Fairbanks, Alaska to be the pastor. Yeah, that's not someplace I really wanted to go. Paul excelled in difficult situations. That was just who Paul was. He liked it. He enjoyed that very much. He wanted a challenge, and Paul got the challenge, and he did it. And everything that he thought was that, man, if you want to get the blood flowing, put me in a hostile environment. The more hostile, the better I am at it. The more I'm going to rise to the occasion. But that was Paul's personality. That's who he was. And this is what Christianity was facing in Crete. This is what he said. I had to play. The Cretans are a bad bunch. Multiple losers. They are everything that you don't want. But for this cause, Titus, I put you there. I left you in Crete because if anybody needs something, this is your place that you can show God that you are going to succeed for him in this place. Now, I know how we see things a lot today. Every time something gets tough, we want to go the other way. We want to run off and hide. We don't want to let somebody else take care of that. But that's not what Paul was saying to Titus. He was saying to Titus, look, Titus, you need to be here. This is the place. Now, I could imagine if I were a young pastor and I was placed in some place like Crete. So Paul, he writes Paul a letter. Somebody wrote him a letter. I got a letter for you. Dear Paul, it's a terrible place. The people totally hopeless. The poor and struggling Christians. The movement's in rags. I'm faithfully waiting to be released from this place as soon as possible. Does that sound like there was a song like that about going to camp way back in the, I don't, who was that? Yeah, hello, mother, hello, father. Here I am at Camp Granada. Some of y'all don't never get that. You don't know that song? Hey, my Camp Granada. Camp is very entertaining. And we'll have some fun if it stops raining. You don't remember? John, you remember that song? John. Don't lie to me now. You go to the Booger Man. You don't remember that one? Oh, man. Never mind. But this, I think this is a way that Titus was thinking. Man, you left me in the poison ivy, and here I am. Please don't make me stay through the winter. No one is responding to my message, and I see no point in continually, obediently, but unhappy, Titus. Now, that's the kind of letter that you want to write to Paul. That's what I think of it. And I'm sure Paul had an answer for him, and he gave it to us in this letter that he writes back to Titus. He says, you know, you're right. They're everything that you say they are. They're the sorriest bunch of people you'd ever met. They're liars. You wouldn't have to say any more about it than that. They were the kind of people that nobody wants to be around. In fact, you tell your children, don't hang out with that crowd. Tell your grandkids, we're going to keep an eye on you so you don't get mixed up with those kind of people right there. There was nothing good that could be said about the Cretans. You couldn't say it. Because there wasn't anything there. Crete was in a deep need. It had a spiritual need that was so great. Who was going to meet the need? And Paul says, for this cause, I left you in Crete. I don't know whether he was mad at him or whether he had a ton of confidence in him. I think the latter. I think that his faith was so exemplary that Paul knew that God was the main focus of Titus' life and that he was going to shine right through it. I mean, this could be any preacher, any denomination could relate to this. I think they can anyway, because we've all been there or we're going there as soon as we get over the last thing we got over. But or maybe you're there right now. I mean, Crete's all around us everywhere we go. And if we face it, we have to realize, too, we're just human. We're not divine. We have contact with the divine, but humans complain. Do we not?
That's not fair. Why did you do this to me?
I said, I didn't do anything to you. This is God's call on your life. And I could understand Titus if he really wrote him a letter like that. I could understand why he would say that. I wouldn't want to be there. I had to listen to Methodist district superintendents and all them say, we're going to ship you to the out to the outback. I said, well, that's just right over here outside the building. No, we'll put you in the boondocks. I said, I thought I was in the boondocks already. Hewitt, Texas, 586 people. Really? When I got to Hewitt, that's what they had. 586. I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about the entire city. That was everything. We did have a feed store in that day. And they could change tires. Or you could change your own tires out there. You could do that. For this cause, I left you. I left you in Crete. After all the things that Paul could have said, he said, I left you. And I'm sure that Titus, after he got over the disappointment that he got when he got this letter back, was that you're still going to be there. That's your assignment. That's where you're going. I'm sure after the disappointment and after the shock, I think Titus realized, you know, Paul, you're right. You're right. Happiness is not something you just wander upon. It's something you create. It's your attitude. It's the way you look at life. So you, Titus, you better get with the program and create in Crete something good. Do something to make a difference in Crete. And there he is. He's in that land. He's in a place that nobody else wanted to go to. Find something. Do you know how much raw material that man had to work with? Yeah, everywhere he turned. He had heathens on all sides. He had the best going for him. I mean, can you imagine you get to a place like that? There's nobody else. You're the Christian. What can you do? Make more Christians. Go out there and let the Spirit of God work in you. Be somebody great for him. Yes, it's a bad place. We've all been to bad places. We've been in messes before. How did we get out of the mess? Well, you could quit and run. That's been the answer for a lot of people. Or you can do what God called you to do and watch him work it out. Titus knew there was no help. Paul knew there was not going to be any help. So what was he saying? What we say today, Titus, you need an attitude adjustment. Aren't you glad that Titus was a spiritual person? That the Holy Spirit worked in his life? That the reality of what the situation, I mean, you're going to have to bring happiness if anybody, there's going to be any happiness. Are you in a place like that in life? Have you been in the place like that in life? Everybody around you is cranky. Don't be talking about your wives and Valentine's Day is coming up, guys. Get with the program. But here he is. Years later, say in the last 100 years, a lot of excavation has been done in Crete. And they have found early churches, great churches. And every one of those churches that were built for Jesus Christ, if you look at them, whose name is on the church? Titus. Yeah. They excavate, they find these shrines. Whose name's on the shrines? Titus. Why? Because Titus stayed with it right there. This is St. Titus. This is who he was. And every place, the very place that he tried to leave, God used him mightily. But he had to work through it. He had to stay with it. He couldn't pass it off to somebody else. He said, Paul, you were right. And Paul said, yeah, and for this cause, that's why I left you where I left you. You see, there's a principle that runs through all of this. It's a principle that goes into our own lives today. Some of us are in a mess. We don't see any way out. We don't know what we're going to do about this. Well, I can tell you this one thing that about that. I think Frank Pollard gave this to me, and I wrote it down years ago. Life is not what you find. Life is what you create. And I mean that in the most spiritual way. I don't mean that as a, you know, get over it, you're the best guy in the world, you know, you can create. No, you can't do anything. But God living it through you, yeah, you can make a difference. You know, but why do we wander around like so many others that don't know Christ? Why do we want to wander around with them looking for a quick fix? There's no quick fix. It's called, I am going to continue to do the things that God called me to do. Does it look hopeful? Not yet. But you know, it only takes one salvation. It only takes impacting one person to bring the joy of every bit of the ministry. Some preachers have been out on the field for, you know, 15, 20 years and maybe had one convert. Maybe they didn't have any. But you know something? One day when they get to heaven, God's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You stayed in the place that I called you to. You preached the word. You shed the light. And that's all that I called you to do. But what do we have today? We say, well, you can't say all those kind of things. Look at our, no, don't look at our educational system. Okay, go ahead and look at it. We can look at it a little bit. What do you want to study, Willie? I don't want to study anything. Oh, well, let's not make him do anything that he doesn't have to do. I feel bad for teachers today. That's why I'm not a teacher anymore. Yeah. I mean, they would have chunked me out. I'd be in jail right now. I'd have a prison ministry of my own. Don't stifle their creativity. That's all I knew how to do, was stifle your creativity. You're going to do exactly what you were told. But my, never mind. Okay. He was inundated, as we are inundated. We see all the negative, but we can't see the positive. It's hard to see what God is doing when our focus is always on what Satan is doing. Every day you can read the paper. No, don't read the papers. That's not worth it. You watch news. You see all this stuff. You hear negative, negative, negative. These are the terrible things that are happening in the world. How about tell me something good? I'm going to tell you about something that's good. His name was Titus. He didn't come to make a difference in his own personal life as much as he came to create an atmosphere of Christ. And he did. He did exactly that. Our job is to challenge this antagonistic environment we live in. That's your job. You say, well, I just don't know if I'm going to do that. Well, then give it to me. I love it. The more antagonistic you can be against the Word of God, against the church, against the things of Jesus, the more that's where I want to go. I want to lay this out because it only takes one person, touch one life. It makes all the difference. One soul was worth everything. And that's what Titus came to. He went out and he tackled Crete. He said, I'm going to do exactly that. It's not just about your character, because it is character. It's building it. It's strengthening it. It's about relations. Have you built a relation with these people yet? And Titus, the oddball, the speckled hen, that's a real old thing. People know about. If you're old, you know about those speckled hens. But this is what Titus was sent there for, and this is what he was doing. How did you make it through? How really, if you stop and think about it, in your marriage, well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to run my own house. That's a big statement, men. No one's going to tell me to clean my room. If I don't want to do dishes, I'm not doing dishes. I have a letter. I'm writing them back. And there's no one going to pay your bills. No one's going to clean up your mess because I'm not your mama. No one's going to wash your clothes. No one's going to feed your dog. I'm not going to mow your lawn. No, I'm not loaning you any money. Are you kidding me? And I'm certainly not paying your speeding tickets. Why is it that we think that we need a standard of living? I'm sorry, young people, but a standard of living what your parents worked hard to get. and you start at that place. We didn't start at that place. We started at the bottom and worked. What do I think about marriage? Marriage is special. It really is wonderful. But you'll learn real quick that you're going to wake up to that same person, and that's what I always enjoyed about marriage. Two personalities. They say opposites attract. Well, it's obvious in our family. The sensitive one is seated over here, the kind one. But you are now entering into the most intimate relationship that you'll ever experience. And all the weirdness that dude's got, it's going to be put right on all your sensitiveness. And you are going to learn to deal with that, because that is the situation that marriage brings. Titus wasn't getting married. He was already married to Jesus. He had already given his life over to him. Now, there's a lot of glorious things about marriage. You just have to look for them. Usually they're under his dirty sock somewhere, but that's beside the point. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to build a friendship and a relationship and a loving relationship that's going to be stronger than death. That's what marriage can bring to it. Because it is exactly what God called people to. You say, well, I was never called to Crete. You were called to get married. It may be just like Crete. You may have somebody hostile in the same house with you. There'll be difficult elements of your life right there. But you know something? Strong souls survive. They do. What do? I stick with it, and I make a real home that blesses children. That's what I do. I'm going to stay with it. Now, I'm being serious now. Marriage is a great building ground for responsibility that you will see as you walk through this world. God gave us small things that we thought were big. Hang in there. It gets bigger. They get a lot bigger. But there's satisfaction knowing that we have met the spiritual needs of our partners. That's the most important thing. All of life could be that way. Are we going to go out there and tackle life? Are we going to go do what God has called it? Titus tackled Crete. Crete. And it wasn't just one person. It was an entire environment of evil, gluttonous, liars, and everything else. But look what he had to work with. All he could do was go up. And that's what God has given us. You say, well, I'm forced into a situation. I hope it was not as crazy as Titus was, but I hope that you have the determination that Titus had to see it through. Fast forward. Move on up in Titus's life. And this is, listen to his response. You know, Paul, you are right. Never doubt it. You are right. Not only in principle, but in reality. Common sense, these people need Jesus. And I'm just the person to bring it to him. The Holy Spirit has guided you correctly, Paul, and I'm going to do it. You know, people, look at around you today. Look at the issues we've got. Look at the problem in Crete. Well, forget Crete. Look at the problems in Robinson. Look at problems in Hewitt or Waco. Look around you. You can see there's problems everywhere. But we've been placed in that. We've been given that. What are we going to do? Well, I'm going to move. Where are you going to go to? Because every place that you go has got the same thing. There's no use in pretending to be a disciple of Christ unless you're willing to live out and stay in the Crete that God made for you. He said to be overcomers. That's what he called every one of us to do. Well, it's hard. Of course it's hard. Life's not easy. But the life that Christ gives us, his strength belonged in Crete. And his strength belongs in each one of us wherever we are today. In whatever situation you're facing today, you're not the answer. God's the answer. Jesus is the one that can make the difference. And you're not there and dealing with it. And I'm going to go on. Are you kidding me? You don't serve out of spite, do you? I hope you serve out of wonderful love. Who is God trusting to handle your crate? You. Who else is going to do that? You. Does he think that you can do that? Yes, he does. He said, by the power of my spirit, you can do this. Yes, I know what they are. They're liars, they're beasts, they're gluttons. They're all of these things. They may be your family members. But these are the facts right there. Why? Because sinners are the ones that need a physician, not the whole. Sinners are the ones that need to be lifted up. You know, there's a passage in the 15th chapter of Luke's gospel. And this is what the publicans were saying. Not publicans. I started to say Republican. No, I didn't. This is what the Pharisees were saying about Jesus. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. That was verse 2. Now you go back to verse 1. I think they got this one mixed up when they wrote it down. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus didn't run from the bad situation. He ran to it. Firemen run into the fire. That's what they do. That's what they've been called to do. Titus, I want you to take on Crete in the power of the Holy Spirit. What Crete are you facing today? Maybe yours is a different situation. But one thing we gotta quit pretending to be a disciple unless we're willing to live in Crete. Because that's where God put you. That's where he placed you right now. I mean, that's what God is doing in your life. It's not a discouraging time. It ought to be a great time. Oh, I know things look bad and negative, but man, all you can do is go up. That ought to be an exciting time. God's entrusting you to face a situation that only you can face because that's what God has given you. So why don't we face the situation? If we are truly disciples of Jesus Christ, get out there and get into it. Because that's what God called you to do. What kind of mess are you in? You can make it one of those bad messes, or you can make it a glorious mess. You can do what God has called you to do. I don't care. Well, they're hateful. They're brutish. They're all of these things. I know what they're like. I know their answers every day. It's a crooked and perverse generation is what Jesus called it. And it's exactly that. And Paul's answering, for this cause I sent you to Crete. And every day that Titus got up, that would ring through his ears. For this cause, for these people's salvation, I sent you to Crete. We don't have it hard here. You say, well, life's not fair. Well, it never has been. Why should it be fair now? I mean, we're in Robinson. I mean, we're not in Crete. You can actually go on through your day and meet some other Christians here. Isn't that wonderful? It's great. We're not in a place that God put us in. It's a terrible, terrible spot. There's no hope. But there's hope here. And God will enable us to continue to do this. Anybody been to a third world country? Isn't that cool? You go down there, they got the best air conditioning you'd ever hope for. Well, yeah, they do. I mean, because you say, well, open the window. They don't have any windows. Well, just close the door. They don't have any doors. Well, I know you get up again. They don't have any walls. They live in a hut, mud. They do things that you and I would cry about every day. Well, we sit in good air conditioning. We sit on our cushy chairs. We get to do all those things. We get our involvement in what? With each other only? Or do we get our involvement with and take the real Spirit of Christ to people that really need it? Crete was that place. And God's saying to every one of us, I've got a place that you know, you're thinking about it right now. I can see it in your eyes. God has put you in a place to make a difference like Titus was to make. Now what are you going to do with it? How are you going to respond to it? Everywhere in this world, there's a Crete. Everywhere that we go, there's a creed. There's needy people everywhere. And what do they need? They need a spiritual warrior like you. Yeah. To stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. That's what God is calling us to be. Why? For the sake of somebody's soul. Is there a bigger calling than that? He's calling you to shoulder the load because nobody else is going to do that. He's calling you to do the heavy lifting because there's not anybody else. I've given it to you to do. I didn't give it to somebody else over there. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing that if every problem that we had in life, we just sent it over to Meadowbrook? That's a good thought, but no. Yesterday, many of you took on a big responsibility right here, cleaning. You know, okay, why did you just hire a bunch of cleaners? Thank you, dear. That was an amen from the front. It was in the form of no, but it was an amen. Why? Because right here, God has given each one of us the privilege of working in our church. And you did a great job, and I'm very, very thankful. But then I look back to what Jesus did. Though he were rich, yet for whose sake? For our sake, he became poor. That's what the scripture talks about. That you, through his poverty, might become rich. We all have that opportunity to become rich. We all get the privilege of being modern-day Tituses. We get the privilege of doing what God has called us to do. Not everybody can be the head of Mission Waco like Jimmy Doyle was. Not everybody has to do a ministry like that. But God has called every one of us to a ministry. And there's a lot of Christian out there. A lot of non-believers still. And they are the same description that Paul gives right here. But I'm still hearing God saying, for this cause I called you to Waco. That's why I called you. I called you here to make a difference. The deepest joy of our hearts should be leading people to Jesus. That's what we should enjoy. That should be the very thing that God has given us. Not everybody didn't call everybody to be a preacher. Thank the Lord for that. But he called every one of us to share in a situation that is not anywhere near as bad as it could be. But there's still souls that need to be saved. Lives need to be changed. I love Brother Sonny's statement always about it when he talked about, how would you like to have the church on the dump? Go to a third world country, and that's where he was talking about. The church on the dump. And that's where they had church, in a trash. Go out here to Waco landfill. Climb out of your thing and start praising Jesus. Well, they'll have you shoot you or they'll have you hauled off. I don't know what they'll do. But that's where they had church because they scrounged around to find food. They scrounged around to find any article, clothes that they could wear. That's a third world country. God has given us a lighter version of Crete right here. But it's our version. It's what God has called us to do. Where's the joy coming from? What's going to come from in here? Is it hard? Yeah, it's hard. Is it fair? I'm telling you, it is fair. I'm telling you, it's fair because God gave it to us. That's why it's always fair. Well, it's just so difficult. Well, deal with it. Right? Get over it, Donna. It's not going to be cheap. It's going to cost you something. But God gave it to you to deal with. It's so much easier as Christians to denounce things. It's so much easier to denounce than it is to build. But God's called us to be builders, to help facilitate the cause of Christ, to do the things that we know to do. And what is it going to take? It's going to take a willing spirit, his spirit within us, make those differences. So I don't know what kind of mess you're facing today. I know I have some myself. But it's never been about the object No matter how much ridicule, how much misunderstanding, how much junk they throw at you every day, how much unforgiveness you face, how much confusion. What is it about? It's simply this. God called me to do this. And that's what I'm going to do. Why? For His glory. Yeah. And when I overcome this, God will have something else. It's our chance. It's our chance to honor Him. What a privilege. You say, well, it's a hard deal. Well, if it was easy, anybody could do it. I mean, really. If it's easier, ask him, isn't that right, Richard, about building? If it was easy, every homeowner would do it. And we walk in and we go clean up the mess that they make. So what do? We answer the call that God has given us. He may be calling you to what you may think is Crete, but is He calling you in an attitude of defeatism, or is He calling you in an attitude that says, I am an overcomer for Jesus Christ? That's what He's calling you to be. That's what He wants us to be. We can't be content just sitting back, let the status quo, you know, well, somebody else can have. There's no reason to complain. I mean, we can hear that every day. We don't need to whine about it or cry about it. Paul said, this is what I called you to do, to set in order the things that I've called you to do. Has God called you to set in order things? I bet He has. If you're not doing it right now, you will be. Maybe you're just finishing it up with something like that. Crete's not easy, either is your life easy. But there's always this. Jesus is walking in us. And you can be like me. When I really get frustrated, I always tell God, it's your problem, not mine. Yeah, I do. I'm sorry, I say that's what your preacher says. God, it's your problem. You called me here. You called me to this. It's your problem. And you know something? That's all He wants to hear from me. I'm going to be here to do it, but it's your problem. Now, how you want me to accomplish this for your sake? And we do that because that's what God's calling is. All right, let me finish this. Face your Crete. It's going to be out there for every one of us. Crete does not have to be a spiritual enemy. And it shouldn't be a spiritual enemy. It should be something that you can make into a friend. Why do you think all of those churches had Titus's name on it? Because he won them over to Jesus Christ. You may be facing the hardest thing you've ever faced in your life today. You may see something on the horizon that you don't want to face, that you do not want to go through. But you can look around even in this group and see things. People have overcome a lot of things, far greater than probably what you're facing today. If that should be encouraging, I don't know what will. Crete's not a spiritual enemy. It's not. And I can tell Satan this, you're not scaring me off, nor are you intimidating me. Because the one that lives within me is greater than you are. Have you been to Crete? Go boldly to face it. Go in the power of His Spirit to face whatever problem, whatever Crete, whatever mess you've got. And make that mess something that's wondrous. And make it so God, by God's grace and by His direction, not about your human thought patterns, but by His direction, He will make the difference. And all He wants you to do, be His feet. Be His voice. Be His hand of compassion. Be all of those things. That's why I say, in a beatitude, happy is the person that can transform his Crete. Right? That's a good one to be. And I hope that you will be that. You see, it's not just a bad mess. It's not negative. It's a glorious mess. It's an opportunity mess. It's an opportunity to let Christ shine in a very dark place. Let's pray.